last Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, brothers and sisters in faith and humanity, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of The Last Savior. First and foremost, Eid Mubarak to everyone. As'adallah yamakum on this auspicious, most joyous occasion, the birth anniversary of our master, our savior, and our imam, Hujjat ibn al-Hasan al-Askari alayhi salam. To all of creation, really, it's a celebratory occasion for the universe. In the studio with me, I have the honor of being joined by our expert, Sayyid Abdullah al-Musawi. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyidina.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you so very much for being with us, sir.
My pleasure. I would like to send my greetings and congratulations to all the people on this prosperous occasion of the birth of the Savior of mankind. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us live long enough to see his appearance.
Maintaining optimism toward the concept of reappearance and how waiting for Imam Zaman is actually a verb, not just an idea, right? We need to shed a bit more light on this. You're giving us pointers on which aspects to like clutch onto the most in order to increase our hope. Mm-hmm. You know, and the sense of looking forward to the event.
Yeah. So the first element, as we mentioned in the previous episode, is the fact that we need to get to know and understand the Imam correctly. And like I said, it's not a historical knowledge rather than a belief knowledge of what the Imam is, what he stands for, what are the beliefs of the Imams themselves. Mm-hmm. And better yet, what is the concept of Imama, which is that's basically what it boils down to, because sometimes if we don't understand the concept of imama itself, then we fall short. A person came to Imam Ali alayhi salam, says to him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I love you and I love Fulan, which is an enemy of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He says to him, you are an a'war.
Which
you're in one-eyed person.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just love me and have the love of my enemy at the same time.
Right.
Now, in our day, we have a lot of people who are trying to question the most fundamental basics of our faith, which is common when it comes to Asma of the Imam, who the Imams is, what makes an Imam an Imam. So the more we get to know the Imams and the more we get to connect to them, especially when it comes to Sahib al-Asr wal-Zaman, the more we connect with him, the clearer the picture comes. A person came to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He was asking Imam al-Sadiq about the end of days. The Imam gave him a very gloomy, dark picture of the future to come during the time of the Imam or before the Imam.
Okay.
And this person started, he broke down in tears. He said, Ibn Rasulullah, if that's the case, we're all lost. We're all gone. The Imam says to him, no. The mu'mineen who know Imam al-Zaman, know the Imam of that time, they will see him as clear as you see daylight today.
So but Sayyidina, you constantly say those who know him, those who know him. I would like if you could kindly give us a practical, pragmatic sort of method to actually know him. Is there a book? Is there a scripture? Is there a text? Is there a source we can refer ourselves to? Collect so-and-so information and you'd be like, okay, I know him now. And I'm going to move closer and closer to, because see, he is going to be the savior of all of mankind, but especially the mustadafeen, right? Those who are oppressed, those whose rights have been trampled upon, those who have been prosecuted and ridiculed and hurt throughout their lives. And I'm like, yeah, if it's all about getting to know him, then what hope can we bring for those who are so underprivileged?
Okay, so with hope itself, let me mention this and then I'll answer your question. Hope itself, in order for you to hope and to have hope in something, you must believe in something in order for you to have that hope. You can't have hope based on illusions and imagination.
Obviously.
Right? So when you have something solid, then your hopes comes into play and it guides you through the obstacles.
Sure.
When you have that belief. Now, I ask the question, what makes us so certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us mm-hmm. for our actions and he will punish us for our sins. Why do we have such a strong belief? It's only because we've done the study. We've studied the Quran, we studied the hadith, and we came to believe that there is heaven and hell, there is reward and punishment. And that concept is so solid in our mind, it can't be shaken. It will only be shaken if my belief in Allah is weak. And those who reject Allah and become atheists and become non-believers or they flip, it just means because their belief in Allah is not solid. Their concept of Tawheed is not solid. The same thing with the Imam alayhi salam. First of all, you said, how do I strengthen my belief in the Imam? First of all, did you wake up every day saying to Allah, oh Allah, thank you for giving Imam al-Zaman, because if it wasn't for him, nor me, nor earth, nor this universe will be standing still. He said, لَوْلَهُ لَسَاقَتِ الْأَرْضِ بِأَهَلِهَا. If it wasn't for him, the entire universe will melt down.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever.
My existence is connected to him. One. Two, I would not be sustained. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not sustain me physically, mentally, spiritually, wealth-wise, material-wise, if it isn't for the blessings and the barakah of the Imam alayhi salam. So you can see how my life is attached to the Imam directly, that if it wasn't for him, that I would not exist, I would not survive. Now that itself, the more you get to understand the Imam from this aspects, and you can see that how your life is so attached to him, and that your existence is attached to him, then you move closer towards getting to know the Imam.
Yeah, but then again, I understand what you're saying, and I understand the idea of acknowledging the Imam as the sustainer of life, recognizing that as one of his job descriptions, that he's not just this descendant of the Prophet roaming the earth nonchalantly waiting for the day that he gets to pull out his sword and, you know, go into an epic battle, right? He's the sustainer of life. But the question, if we're going to gradually shift the focus of our discussion onto a group of people known as the Mustadhafin, whom coincidentally are a category which a lot of ahadith pertaining to the Imam relate to, right? My question is that, well, I'm a mustadhaf. We all are in some sort of aspect. But imagine that I'm an absolute, impoverished, mustadhaf, oppressed individual. And I'm thinking to myself that, okay, if my life is so intertwined with the Imam's, and if he is the sustainer of my life, and he's the big boss, and he owns me as my master and my king and my Imam and my leader from a spiritual, physical, material, every aspect, how can he live with himself knowing that I'm so miserable? Where's the hope in that?
Perfect. All right. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, we want to give our blessings to those who are oppressed on earth, and we will make them the inheritors of earth when the Imam alayhi salam comes. Now, with the Imam alayhi salam, I want to correct you, not correct you, but I want to add a comment to what you said about the Imam. The Imam's job description in maintaining and sustaining earth and life itself is one thing. Mm-hmm. But we need to see our own connection to the Imam. Imam al-Zaman alayhi salam, sometimes we see him as a person who is trying to perform a job, sometimes I see my connection to him, that I say to myself, I have nothing to do with the world.
All right.
That's his job description. But I myself, I say to Imam Zaman, I said, "Ya Imam Zaman, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here today."
Oh, so where do I stand connection. In this relationship?
Exactly. So right. We need to draw that connection to the Imam ourselves, not to look at him as a person who is sustaining earth. That brings us further from the Imam rather than bring us closer to him. That's one thing. Second thing, when you said about how would the Imam live with himself seeing my suffering, also we're missing the point here. The Imam alayhi salam, his job, not only to sustain you and give you life and make sure you're alive, obviously with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you have to understand that life itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it as a test field, الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم. He who created life and death for what? To trial you. I'm meant to be trialed. Even, you know, we have so much riwayah says, yugharbilan, Allah, you know, he will shake you. He will try to
see through
until he gets the, you know, the purest gold. Right? How does it happen without trials? If I want to live in a castle and have everything under my disposal and, you know, want to live a happy life and say, oh, yeah, I'm a mu'min, it doesn't work. Bala is part of a mu'min. You know how the hadith says if Allah does not trial you in 40 days, then there's something wrong?
You should get suspicious. Like, okay, right? Things are going too smooth.
Exactly. So first, we have to understand the purpose of life itself. Once we understand the purpose of life, that life is based on trials, then the Imam comes along, alayhi salam. The Imam, alayhi salam, mind you, the suffering that we go through, believe me, that's why I said when we need to get to know the Imam very well, that most of the problems that we have, it's eased because of the existence of the Imam, because of our belief in the Imam. So many problems come into our way, and the Imam alayhi salam says, no, these ones, I don't want him to have it. So he's protecting us without us knowing. I mean, we don't see it, but it's actually taking place. The suffering that we're going through, the istif'af that we're going through, this oppression that we're going through, the Imam alayhi salam, his existence is actually helping us out. He himself said in his letter to Sheikh al-Mufid, he says, if it wasn't for us, then the a'da, they would have like eliminated you from earth. Mm-hmm. We're only existing as Shias because of him. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, we have to understand that on earth, we have a role, and the earth itself, this life itself, is a trial. So whatever comes to you is not because the Imam is not doing his job. No, because you have to, as a person, you need to elevate yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more problems he brings you away, the more suffering and pain he puts you through, the more he elevates your status. That's how it works. We can't just come and blame the Imam. Oh, you know, how could he live with himself?
Right.
Why isn't he doing anything about it? You, as a human being, you have a duty to perform on earth,
right,
which is to pass the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send you away.
Hold me by your hand and please show me the way to be one of the pure and chosen companions so that I can swear the oath of allegiance. I'll give everything that I love in God's name to avenge the blood of your grandfather. Every step of the way, my dream will come true. On my last breath, oh Master, I'll call out to you. Oh Light of Allah, you are my true guide. I'm waiting for you to die by your side.
There's a role of being a savior. The Imam Zaman's role of being a savior only apply to those who have this sort of relationship that you've described with him? Or is he the savior of all mustada'afin, even those who have no knowledge of his status, of his position, of his relationship with us, with creation, with creator?
The Imam alayhi salam, just like his grandfather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, was sent rahmatun lil alameen. He wasn't sent rahmatan lil muslimin, nor was he sent rahmatan lin nas. He is actually to the entire existence is a mercy.
Right.
In the same way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a mercy to mankind, so is Imam al-Zaman. When he comes, he's not only coming to save the Shia, not only coming to save the Muslims, but he's coming to save humanity as a whole. He wants, his job is not to maintain me and you only. His job is to maintain every human being, those who believe in him and those who don't. That's his role. Now we can see that different parts of the world, some of them they're Muslims, some of them atheists, some of them non-believers, and every part of the world is oppression going around. It doesn't matter which country you look at, there are a lot of people being oppressed. Now the Imam alayhi salam, his job is to make sure that all those oppressed people are saved. Now in terms of them not knowing the Imam, that's one thing. When the Imam comes and he makes himself known and he explains himself, the hadith says they all believe in him, especially the West, they will submit to the Imam without even having to go to war with him. So at the end of the day, when he shows them that I am here to save you, everyone will submit to that. Mm-hmm. And the concept of savior itself, it is embedded in every single religion. Because as human beings, we need hope that one day things will be better. The utopia that, you know, the philosophers have spoken about, it is the time of the Imam alayhi salam. So when he comes for entire humanity. He comes to save every oppressed person, Muslim, non-Muslim, black and white.
Thank you so very much, Sayyidina, for this interesting commentary. And thank you so very much to our listeners for being with us. That's all the time we have for today's episode of The Last Savior. But inshallah, we'll be back with you soon. Until then, I leave you and our beloved Imam in the care and protection of the Almighty. Eid Mubarak. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.